Good morning. The reading today is from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance.
Bill had always had the sneaking suspicion that he was an accident. His parents didn't plan to have him, nor did his parents particularly want him. His parents never told him they loved him. In fact, his mother told him that having children wasn't worth the effort. What was the point of his life? He didn't amount to much in terms of relationships or career. What had he achieved? What was he achieving? These were the questions he asked himself. And then he heard a sermon on God choosing him. And did you know that you've been chosen by God? If you are a Christian, God has chosen you for a purpose. Why has God chosen us? After all, there's nothing special about us. We're ordinary people. And yet God has loved us and God has chosen us. The great Australian evangelist John Chapman said, God is like a cricket captain. He's chosen a team to be on his side, to serve him in the world, supremely to win our generation for Christ. Why has God chosen you? He's chosen you to be his person in the world, to live and work for him. And this has been the experience of God's people throughout history. This came to be Bill's experience. He realized that God had chosen him for a purpose. His life had meaning. His life had value. His life had dignity. I want to explore this morning what it means to be chosen by God for a purpose. It's the first Sunday of a brand new year. What's your purpose as you go into 2021? Why do you get up in the morning? What thrills and excites you? What makes you thank God that you're alive? For the Christian, the very fact that God has called us and chosen us makes all the difference in the world. So, two things to show you this morning: Peter's identity and calling, and our identity and calling. Firstly then, Peter's identity and calling. Calling is very much tied up with identity in these verses. Verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Why should we listen to Peter? Why is his opinion of any consequence? Why are Peter's words recorded in the Bible? Why have Christians studied Peter's words for 2,000 years? Why do theological students write essays on this letter? Why have there been countless sermons preached on Peter's words? Well, it's all because of his identity. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Peter was a fisherman. He was called to follow Jesus, and he followed Jesus. He let Jesus down badly. He denied Jesus 3 times. But then Jesus reinstated him. Jesus gave Peter the opportunity to declare his love for Jesus and to live out his love for Jesus. Peter is an apostle. What's an apostle? Apostle means sent one. Peter is sent by Jesus to represent Jesus in the world. He is Jesus' ambassador. That means he only says what Jesus tells him to say. What Peter says then, Jesus says. An apostle has been sent into the world to speak for Jesus, to be Jesus' ambassador, Jesus' representative, to be Jesus' spokesman in the world. Christians sometimes say creeds in their services. A creed is a summary of Christian belief. The Nicene Creed says, "I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church." Catholic means universal. Apostolic means we teach and believe what the apostles of Jesus taught. If we're not apostolic, we're not Jesus' people. Peter is an apostle of Jesus Christ. That's his identity. That's why we should listen to him. His calling is to represent Jesus in the world, to be Jesus' spokesman. So there's Peter's identity and calling. But secondly, note our identity and calling. We are God's elect. Can you see that? Elect means chosen. We are God's chosen ones. This is an immense privilege. Why did God choose us? Is there anything special about us? No. We're just ordinary people, and yet God chose us. There's a huge responsibility that goes with this. I haven't been chosen to please myself. I've been chosen by God to represent him in the world. Therefore, it matters how we live. It matters how we speak. Here's a purpose for 2021. Here's a reason to get up in the morning. I am one of God's elect. We are one of God's elect. We are chosen by God. We represent him in the world. Christopher Wright, who's a famous Christian leader, he's the International Ministries Director for the Langham Partnership. Christopher Wright says that election, God choosing us, isn't just for our personal benefit and salvation. According to the Bible, the elect are chosen to be a blessing to others. Israel is chosen to be a light to the Gentiles. Wright uses the following story. Imagine a group of trapped cave explorers. Can you picture them? Underground, they're trapped, and they choose one of their number to squeeze through a narrow, flooded passage to get out to the surface and call for help. Now, the point of the choice is not that she alone gets saved. Rather, it's so that she is able to bring help and equipment to ensure that the rest get rescued. Election, then, is the choice of one for the sake of many. In other words, we've been chosen by God to win other people for Christ. That's our calling based on our identity. Verse 2, we've been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. Notice how the whole Trinity are involved in our salvation. The Father chose us. We know from Ephesians 1 verse 4 that this was from before the creation of the world. Before the creation of the world, God set his love on us, and God chose us in Christ to belong to him, to be his people in the world. We were chosen by the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. Sanctification means God making us holy. Sanctification is a moment. The moment when we are born again and are made right with God, we are made holy, made fit for God's presence. We become saints, sanctified ones. This is the Spirit's work. Sanctification is also a process. If we're walking healthily with God, we will be more holy now than we were this time last year. God is working in us, often through suffering and hardship, to refine us, to make us more holy, to sanctify us. But that's not going to be easy, because not only are we elect, but we are exiles. That means 21st century Britain is not our ultimate home. Heaven is our home. Being with Jesus is our home. So we're always going to feel somewhat uncomfortable in the world. We'll feel it when people are being dishonest or immoral or getting drunk or telling certain kinds of jokes or displeasing Jesus in any way. We'll always feel that we don't belong. We'd like to blend in, but we won't blend in. We will stick out. We will be different. We will be exiles. Peter's readership may well have thought of Old Testament Israel at this point. Israel was famously in exile in Egypt. For 400 years, Israel lived in Egypt and in Babylon in the 6th century BC. God's people were defeated by the Babylonians and carried into exile there. They were not at home. They were out of place. I remember when I first went to university, I felt like my accent made me stick out. I felt that my clothes made me stick out. I'm sorry to say, I modified my accent. You may not think so, you may not believe it, but I did. I modified it quite considerably. I wanted to fit in a posh English culture. And I modified my clothing. My mother had kitted me out very kindly and generously. I wore a jumper with a big pattern on it. My tutor mocked me for it. I know it's sad, isn't it? I didn't wear it ever again. I bought plain lamb's wool jumpers and chinos and cords, and I blended in with my college. To a certain extent, this is a good thing. One of Becker's forebears was a great missionary called Stanley Smith. He was one of the Cambridge Seven. And one of the things they did was blend in culturally. They wore the same clothes as the Chinese they were seeking to win for Christ. They made themselves as much like the indigenous people as they could. That was a good thing. But morally, we mustn't blend in. We mustn't swear. We mustn't lie. We mustn't cheat. We're in exile here. We don't belong in a swearing, lying, and cheating culture. We are elect, we are chosen, but we are exiles. We don't really belong here. Here in verse 1, God's people are scattered throughout the provinces of Asia Minor, which is modern-day Turkey. They are literal exiles, scattered across the known world. We are spiritual exiles. Most of us here are not literally living in a foreign land, but spiritually, we certainly are. So there's Peter's identity and calling, and there's our identity and calling. Florence Nightingale found her purpose in life, as you know, to be a nurse in the Crimea. From the age of 16, she knew God had called her to serve him. Long before she knew that she would be a nurse, she knew that God was calling her to be his person. That's the fundamental thing. We too have been chosen to be God's people, chosen for a purpose. Remember how I said that we see the whole Trinity in these verses. Our calling is to be obedient to Jesus Christ, chosen by the Father, sanctified by the Spirit, obedient to Jesus Christ. That's why we've been chosen, so that God will have a people in the world, yes, who are exiles, who stand out from the non-Christian world, and who are obedient to Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John 14:15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." This, then, is how we show our love for Jesus. We obey him. How are we doing with this? If you're like me, you have to repent on a regular basis for not loving Jesus by keeping his commands. But that's why we've been chosen by the Father and sanctified by the Spirit, so that we will be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. In Exodus 24, God confirms his covenant with his people, the Israelites. Young bulls are sacrificed. The blood of the bulls is sprinkled against the altar and it is sprinkled on the people. The blood marks the people out as belonging to God. Moses was to say, as he sprinkled the people, "This is the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you." Jesus uses a similar expression in the Last Supper in Matthew 28:28. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Just as the blood in the Old Testament represented God's covenant relationship with his people, so in the New Testament, Jesus' blood is the final blood to be poured out for the forgiveness of sins. And we are marked with this blood, so to speak. We're not literally sprinkled with it, but we are sprinkled spiritually. We're forgiven by this blood. This blood atones for our sin, pays for our sin, and it confirms our identity as God's people. We are marked with the blood of Jesus. And so it's our purpose to live obediently as Jesus' people. This will involve lives of service to him. Everything we do is an opportunity to show God that we love him, to show Jesus that we are obedient to him. Clearly, this involves speaking for Christ, opening our mouths, identifying ourselves as Christians, talking about Jesus with those that we meet as we pray for God to give us those opportunities. And so we will need grace and peace in abundance. Grace means God's blessing, God's forgiveness, God's prosperity on our lives, despite our sin, despite the fact that we deserve hell. God is gracious to us. He does not punish us as our sins deserve. In fact, God blesses us superabundantly, despite our sin. Despite all that we deserve, God is gracious to us. And by his grace, we are able to live for Christ. In my own strength, I could never obey Jesus. But by his grace, we are able, to some extent, to live the life God is calling us to lead. Grace is ours in abundance, and peace is ours in abundance. Fundamentally, God has made peace with us through Jesus' death on the cross. Where once we were at war with God, where once we were God's enemies, rebelling against him, now God has made peace. God has defeated our rebellion. And God has invaded our lives and taken over. He has imposed peace on us, for which we are immensely grateful. God has made peace with us objectively. No matter how badly we fail, because Jesus has paid for our sin on the cross, we have peace with God. This is an objective reality. It is also a subjective experience. We feel peaceful as we trust in Christ. The things we once felt anxious about are now simply things we feel peaceful about. Christians face up to worrying circumstances as they experience peace, as they trust in God, as they give the whole situation over to Him in prayer. We experience peace in abundance. So, Peter's identity and calling as an apostle. We're to be an apostolic church. We're to obey the apostles' teaching. And our identity and calling as the elect, as God's chosen ones, as exiles scattered throughout the world, sanctified by the Spirit, our calling is to be obedient to Jesus, to show that we love Him by obeying Him, by being obedient to all His commands, not least to represent Him in the world, to tell others about Him, all the time to know grace and peace in abundance. Are you wondering what your vocation is? Are you wondering how you can serve King Jesus? Well, commit yourself to obeying Jesus, to showing Jesus that you love Him by obeying Him. And then it will become clear which ministries you should get involved with. And all of us have the supreme calling of telling others about Jesus. So build relationships. I have a number of friends who, sadly, whose partners have died and who've said to me, I just don't know what my purpose is anymore. Well, here is your purpose: to build relationships with non-Christians, to make friends with your neighbors, with your colleagues. Build relationships and ask God to give you opportunities to speak about Christ. There's a purpose to live by in 2021. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that we've been called and chosen for the great purpose of being obedient to Jesus. Father, we don't know why You chose us. We do know that we're just ordinary people. And so we thank You for the great purpose You've placed on our lives to live for Christ. Help us, Lord, to do this. Help us to be Your elect, exiles in this foreign land. Help us, Lord, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.